We've been looking at God of my yesterday, God of my today, and today we're going to look at God of my tomorrow. And, you know, the writer of Hebrews describes life as a race. He says that we are to run with endurance the race that is set before us. And we know life is a marathon. The Christian life is a marathon. It's not just about, a short-term sprint or something like that. It's not a 100-yard dash. But the Christian life is a marathon. And tomorrow is unknown to us. We don't know what tomorrow brings. We know who holds it in the palm of his hand, but we don't know what tomorrow brings. And to finish strong, we need vision and we need hope. We need to have a vision for the future, for our lives. We need hope for our lives. Praise God. You know, we can go to the Bible, and Jeremiah 29:11 says that God has plans for us to give us a hope and a future. I want to open with this prayer here from the Apostle Paul. He prays it in Ephesians chapter 1. And he prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? That is you. That is you. If you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are a saint. You are no longer a sinner. You are a saint. God has sanctified you. He has set you apart for himself, for the holy, and he is working in your life. You're a saint. So this is our prayer today, that we would come out of this meeting today with fresh clarity of the hope that God is for us, for our lives. And this morning, I'm going to cast my line far. I want to hook in, not into tomorrow, but I want to hook into eternity. I want to set my hook right there into eternity, where God has got good things for me. And I'm going to use it just like vision. And I'm going to got something that I can hook in, and I can reel myself in towards that. You know, next week we'll talk on vision. It's Vision Sunday next Sunday. But today I want to talk about hope. And we need to have a hope for the future. You know, the Deuteronomy 29:29 is one of my favorite scriptures, and it says that the secret things belong to God. Tomorrow, we don't know the detail of tomorrow. The secret things belong to God. But what has been revealed to us and our children that we can live thereby. God has revealed 66 books here of revelation knowledge. You know, that prayer from Paul there, that we would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. That's not entirely correct, but what we know and comprehend and understand of God is the thing that benefits us the most. I do appreciate that God is always at work in our lives, helping us in spite of us, right? But when you know that God is on your side, then you can be strong. Then you can do great exploits, amen? Rather than being timid and afraid and God seeing you through, which is better. God wants us to study his word. Like the psalmist said, I have hidden your word in my heart. The Holy Spirit will bring his word to your remembrance. But you've got to hide it in your heart first. Otherwise, how does he bring it to your remembrance? And it takes effort. It takes time. But it's worth it. It's worth it. And my prayer today is that we leave this place dissatisfied with our walk with God in a good sense, that we desire more of God, that we desire to be burning with a passion for Jesus and for his cause. So God is the God of our tomorrow, and he has a good, good plan for your lives. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 and 10 declares boldly that eye hasn't seen, nor has ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. It's like that scripture that Sandy quoted earlier, that it's beyond all that we can ask or even dare to imagine, the future that God has for us. And just picking up on that word, prepare, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. And it just makes me think of in John chapter 14. Go and read it in your Bible. It's the account of Jesus. And he's talking to his disciples shortly. Well, it's just after the Last Supper, shortly before his betrayal. And he declares this to them. And almost everybody knows the scripture. And they say, where Jesus says to them, in my Father's house are many rooms. I go and prepare a place for you that where I am, you might be also. Do you think God has a good plan for your life? Yes. Huh? He's prepared a place for you that where he is, you may be also. His desire is for you to be with him. And you know, this is such a short dialogue, but the enormity of it is huge. The enormity of this short paragraph, this short in the Bible, the enormity of it is absolutely huge. God's desire for you is so good. And when you tie this together with 1 John 3, verses 1 and 2, and we can put that up. Now, don't zone out because this is Chris's favorite scripture, right? Behold what manner of love. Consider what quality of love. Consider what expression of love that the Father has bestowed, like lavished out on us, that we should be called children of God. You know, we are all God's creation. God created us all. But God's children, that's an exclusive bunch. Christianity is exclusive, and everybody hates us for saying that. Christianity is exclusive, but in an incredibly inclusive way. Do you get that? It's an incredibly inclusive way. But no, because nobody comes to the Father but by Jesus. And that was Jesus' words. Only Jesus laid down his life for you and for me to pay the price for our sins, so that all we have to do is just say, please forgive me, Lord. I receive what you did on my behalf. You're in. He said, I will never turn away anyone who comes to me. It's inclusive, totally inclusive. But it is exclusive. So we are all God's creation, but we are not all God's children. But behold what manner of love that he has for us, that we should be called his children. Not only did he receive you and I as we came to him. We came to him with nothing to offer. With absolutely nothing. Just my sin and my mess ups. Poof, mess up upon mess up, right? And he didn't just receive me. He didn't just accept me and say, well, come, Chris, it's all right. Jesus, my son, paid the price for you. Yeah, come and, you know, join the club. Instead, he embraced me as a son. He said, Chris, today I'm going to become a father to you. I'm going to be a father to you. Talk about acceptance and love embracing me, and I become his child. That there's a whole quality and expression of love there that really deserves a lot of time contemplating on. He says that, therefore, the world doesn't know us because it didn't know him. You know, he came to his own, and his own didn't receive him. But to all who received him, he gave the right to become children of God. Yeah. So he goes on to verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God. Now we are children of God. You know, I know we don't know what tomorrow holds, but just knowing that you are loved by God perfectly, you know that he will never leave you or forsake you. It can give you courage to live today and tomorrow. But he carries on. He says, and it's not yet revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. We, young, old, black, white, rich, poor, thin, fat, short, tall, whoever, whatever, we shall be like him. No exclusion. You are a child of God. When you see him, when you leave this life, you will stand before him and you will you'll be transformed in a moment. You will be like him. Church, either I'm starting a cult, right, with this, or this is the truth. The Bible says, let everything be established by two or three witnesses. We don't form doctrine by just one scripture alone, right? Good. So, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 47 to 49 in the New Living. It says, Adam, the first man, was made from the dust of the earth, while Christ, the second man, came from heaven. Adam, the first man, was created. Christ, the second man, came from heaven. Jesus was the Son who was given. Jesus was not created. He was given. We sing that at Christmas time, you know. Unto us a son is given. Jesus was given. That's why the virgin birth was so important. He was not created. He did not come through Adam. He is not one of us, but he became one of us to be our substitute. Amen. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Come on, Jesus, because we know and identify with Jesus in the Gospels, and we see Jesus of Nazareth, the man, don't forget for a moment that He is God. He is God the Son. So Adam the first man was made from the dust of the earth, while Christ the second man came from heaven. Earthly people are like the earthly man, and heavenly people are like the heavenly man. Just as we are now like the earthly man, we will someday be like the heavenly man. This body of ours is just an earth suit. We are created in the image of God. We are a spirit. We have a soul, our mind, will, and emotions, and we live in a body, this earthly suit. We are created, and in order to live on this earth today, we have to have this body. Yeah, that's why demonic activity, and that always manifests through people. The devil has to have a way through people to manifest. He can't live on this earth. But we have this earth suit. This is an earth suit. 1 Corinthians 15, really good chapter in the Bible to read about this how this body is just a seed, you know, and the seed will die, but it's sown in mortality, it's sown in corruption, but it's raised in power, it's raised in immortality. It's a seed. But unless a seed dies and falls to the ground, it abides alone. But once that seed dies, then the life comes from it. The Bible says that we give up this mortal that life may come. You know, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There is a spiritual body, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, and there's a spiritual body. There's a physical and there's a spiritual. And when we lay down the physical, we get the spiritual. So someday, when we lay down this physical, we will inherit that physical, that spiritual, that immortal, created in the image of God. We will be like God. Jesus, who was God, who is God, and who always will be God. We will be like Him. You convinced yet? Okay, Psalm 8. Psalm 8, verses 1 and then verses 3 to 5. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Your name in all the earth, who have set Your glory above the heavens. When I consider Your heavens, the work of Your fingers, the moon and the stars, which You have ordained, what is man that You are mindful of him, and the son of man that You visit him? Just pause here for a moment. God, how excellent is Your name in all the earth, who have set Your glory above the heavens. And you consider, and the psalmist considers those heavens. He's just looking at the physical heavens. He said, the moon and the stars, which You've ordained. You know, one molecule didn't decide to one day to randomly get together with another molecule and then randomly decide to get with another molecule and to form an eyeball and to lie around with all its intrinsic ability and then connect with a nose and an ear and an eye. No. God created everything that is seen and unseen. And you know what? Whilst we can see the beauty of this creation, this is just a shadow. Ooh, those kids are having a party, eh? Wow. But while we can see the beauty of this creation, this is just a shadow. This is just a foretaste of the spiritual reality, which we can't quite see yet. We just have this impression. The Holy Spirit just gives us this impression on the inside of the beauty that is there. And so the psalmist declares, how excellent God is Your name in all the earth. You know, God is a God of, He is so noble. It's the only word I can think of. God is like noble in character. In character, integrity. God is noble. He swears to His own hurt and changes not. He's full of wonder and majesty. And this amazing God, He bends down and He comes to man. And the psalmist says, what is man? What am I that You mindful of me? The son of man that You visit us. Verse 5, for You have made us a little lower than the angels. The word there is Elohim. You have made us a little lower than Elohim. Elohim is God, in case you didn't know. Elohim is the name of God. The writers of the translators were too afraid or too religious to actually put, only some translations use Elohim. But God has created us a little lower than God Himself. And You've crowned us with glory and honor. Do you know what? Do you know what? We can't see all the stuff that that God has created in the spiritual realm. We are caught in our sense world, our five senses. But I tell you, there's beauty that beyond imagination that God has created. There are heavenly hosts. There are angels. They are mighty. They are beautiful. They are powerful. There's this incredible galaxies and the creation that God has formed. And above it all, above all the beauty and the majesty and the wonder of creation, sits God above it all. And we will be like God above it all. Do you think there's a hope for your future? Come on, church. Is it because of something you deserved? Or is it worked for? No. It's who God created us. It is the love and the mercy and the grace of God. God's desire was always for a family. He created us for fellowship. And you see it in the book of Genesis, how he'd walk in the cool of the day with his man, Adam. Created the image of God. He doesn't need us, but he loves us. How do you identify yourself? Do you identify yourself still as a sinner? As a failure, as with your weaknesses? Or do you identify yourself? Come on, this is a popular phrase nowadays. We need to see ourselves as God sees us. Children of God. Children of God. John said in 1 John 3, whoever has this hope in him purifies himself as he is pure. We need to lay hold of what God has for us. Because within that, there is just your whole walk changes. You no longer identify as an old person who made all those mistakes, who just yearned for sin, who yearned to do it your own way. But now you identify with who you are in God. It changes your walk. Romans 8, verse 15 to 18. Now, John said that, he spoke about that we are children of God and with the promise of the future. Paul says it this way in Romans 8, 15 to 18. We haven't received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we've received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. God has adopted you. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. He has adopted us. He's given us his spirit. And it's by that spirit we just like instinctively just cry out, Abba, Father. We just know God is our Father. God is our Father. And he says, we are children. And then he jumps to this conclusion. And I've read this hundreds of times, and it still impacts me every time. How does he jump from this? We are children of God. He says, but if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. All that God has is yours. When we leave this life, the Bible says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, number one. It says, in his presence is fullness of joy, fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. All things belong to Jesus, and we are co-heirs with Jesus. He has given us an inheritance out of this world. An incredible inheritance. We can have a hope for the future, church. He does say, indeed, if we are joint heirs, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Life is a marathon. And and there is suffering. That song, there is suffering in the offering. But he continues and he says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time aren't worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. You know what? There's genuine, genuine suffering, unimaginable suffering that people go through in this life. And he is not belittling that. He is not talking that down. But by comparison to the glory and the honor that God has for us, you can't compare. It's not worth comparing. There is such glory that is to be revealed in us. In us. You know, if you read on in the book of Romans there, it talks about Romans 8. It talks about how the whole creation itself yearns earnestly waiting for the revealing of the sons of God, that the creation itself can enter into that glorious liberty of the children of God. It's like, that is just one of those mysteries. I just don't get that. But it's just something that is lovely to contemplate and to think on. 2 Corinthians 3:18 in the ESV says, and we all, we looked at this last week, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord. We behold the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. We are being transformed. Do you know what? We have this treasure in earthen vessels. I absolutely get that. But I want to tell you, church, There is treasure on the inside of you. There are deposits. There are gems on the inside. There are nuggets of, oh, precious gems that God implants inside of you. Titus, it's Philemon. He says, you need to acknowledge every good gift that's inside of us, that the sharing of our testimony may be made more effective. You know, acknowledge the good things that God has placed inside of you. There is gems inside of you. Yeah, we're still a work in progress, all of us. But come on, God has deposited gems on the inside of you. There is real treasure on the inside of you. Christ in you, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 3:4. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Not in defeat, not in failure, in glory. Christ, who is our life, when he appears. 1 Thessalonians 2:12 says, walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. God's call on your life is into his own kingdom and glory. We don't know what tomorrow brings. We don't know the detail of it. But I tell you what, we can cast our fishing line. We can get that hook into the promises of God, and we can reel ourselves in. No matter what happens, we are going to that end because God has a good plan for our lives. God has such glory for our lives. We will be like God. Not gods. Not even little gods. Don't get me wrong. Not even little gods. He is God. He alone is God. We are his creation. But nevertheless, somehow, we will be like him. Unlike anything else in all of creation, there is an honor. When the Bible says that he has glorified us, you know, to be glorified means to be endued with dignity and honor. God has glorified us for no good purpose other than the fact that he loved us. We don't deserve any of it. In fact, it's in spite of what we deserve, right? But he's created us in the image of God. He's placed eternity. The Bible says he's placed eternity in our soul. We have this intuitive knowledge that there is more for us than me. Look, I am 5'7" and a half. And a half, right? That is important. Thank you. I'm good at most things I do. Possibly even better than average in most things. But I'm certainly no master in anything. I'm kind of a jack of all trades and a master of none. I'm average. I'm average, right? And I'm very happy being average. But on the inside of me, I know that there is more to it than this. There is more to it than this. What God has for my tomorrow is revealed. The secret things belong to God, but he's revealed. What has been revealed is for us and our children to live thereby. Romans 8, you are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. For all eternity, you have an inheritance alongside Jesus, who is your de facto big brother. He is the firstborn among many brethren. That's God's plan. We looked at it last week. His predestined purpose for our lives, that we be conformed to his image, that he would be the firstborn among many brethren, brothers and sisters. He is our big brother. We have a joint inheritance with him. We will be like him. We will be like him. You're going to see, you're going to arrive in eternity, you're going to see, oh, there goes Chris, because I'm going ahead of you. I want to go home first. But no, I'm joking. We're going to stay here until the job is done, right? But let's get the job done quickly. Amen. Yes, come on, let's get working, church. So we go home, stop working. Let's get it finished. But you know what? The thing that the real kicker in this, as the Americans would say, the kicker in this, the irony of this all, this whole idea, the whole concept that we will be like God, was what lay behind that very first deception in the Garden of Eden. What did the devil say to Eve? God doesn't want you to have this, because he knows if you do, you're going to be like him. We've just said that. I didn't make this stuff up, right? It's by 2 or 3 witnesses, let everything be established. 1 John 3, Colossians. we will be like God. It's the thing that he has for us. And yet somehow the enemy of our soul manages to get in and say, the very thing that God has for you, he doesn't want you to have. Go and do it your own way. Get God out. Start distrusting God. And what's the first thing that happens? They heard God's voice and they were afraid. And God calls them. He says, we heard you and we were afraid and we were ashamed. And so we make fig leaves to cover ourselves, to protect ourselves. Anytime you feel that there is a wall that you need to put up between yourself and God, just stop. Just stop. The enemy of your soul wants you to live in the shadows. He wants you to have little secrets that you hide away in the shadows, that you just feel guilty about every now and again. Listen, God knows everything that we do, right? I mean, the darkness and the light are the same to him. You can't hide anything from him. He doesn't, when we come to him and we repent, it's not the first time he hears of it. He saw it, right? He was there. He was there, Christ in you. He's with you. He sees it. So why don't we just be open with God and walk in the light as he is in the light? Lord, oh, have access to every area of my life. Let your spotlight shine in every area of my life and my sexual desires. Oh yeah, come on. Let's get personal with God in everything, in every area of our lives. God, let your light shine bright in every area of my life. I don't want to do anything that is outside of the will of God. And I'm not going to try and change myself anyway, either, I should say, because that leads to failure. I want to do it with God. Only God can change me. God receives me as I am. From that point in time, I become his workmanship. He is the one that's working in me. Allow him to work in you. But you've got to develop that relationship, that trust relationship where, God, you've got access to every area of my life. My money. Oh, that's another one. I'm just a steward of it, of my children. I'm a steward of every area of my life. Do not allow anything to push you away from God. Colossians 3:4 said, when Christ, who is your life, appears. God is our life. Jesus is our life. In him we live and move and have our being. And John encouraged us in 1 John 2, verses 2 to 8, he said, that we should abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Abide in him. Abide in him. You know, Psalm 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and fortress. My God, in him I will trust. Hey? Abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. God loves you and I perfectly. He's a perfect father. There is no sting in the tail. He's not waiting to catch you alone and say, I've got a bone to pick with you. God loves you perfectly. In his presence is fullness of joy. God is the spirit of life. He is the spirit of life. Imagine that. You get around some people with some fire in them, and we got some in the house today. Guys with life in them, you get around them and you feel that life. Hey? Go hang around with Stephen and Debbie and Shanae and these guys in the, you know, all over the church. You come away, you feel like some life in you, right? God is the spirit of life. To be in his presence, do you know what that's going to be like? That's going to be something incredible. He's a good father who gives good gifts. Every good and perfect gift comes from him. He blesses, and with it he adds no sorrow. So tomorrow starts today. Tomorrow starts today. Today is the yesterday. Today is the tomorrow we worried about yesterday. Right? Today is the tomorrow we worried about yesterday. Tomorrow starts today. So today we are choosing life. We are choosing life. We are choosing that Zoe life that he offers us, that he has for us. You know, the Apostle Paul said, I'm hard pressed. I want to depart and be with the Lord, or remain here. but it's better for you that I remain here. We are going to choose the life that God has for us. We are going to live this life to the full. I want to give everything back to my Jesus. I don't want to die with potential. I don't want to die with potential. I want to empty the tank. But if I've got potential, it means it's something I haven't even tried yet. I want to try it and fail if I have to, but at least I want to try. I don't want to die with potential. I don't want to be on my deathbed and thinking, if only. Let's be. Oh, talking to Andrew, he's going to get stretched. He's trying new areas. Let's get stretched in life. Let's see what God can do with our lives. Let's give everything back to Him. Let's not leave here full today. Let's leave here hungry today. Let's leave here desiring more of God today, willing to offer these lives a living sacrifice, a living sacrifice. Lord, here are my hands. Use them. Here's my mouth. Use it. Let me be a part of the solution in this place. You know, anybody can be a part of the problem. It's easy. But let's be a part of the solution. Let's offer ourselves to God a living sacrifice. God is the God of our tomorrow. There is a hope ahead of us that our faith can lay a hold of, church. Our faith, there is such hope for us. If the end is so good, of whom shall I be afraid? Like David could say, the Lord is my salvation, of whom shall I be afraid? So let's know God as the God of our salvation. Let's be hungry to know Him. It's all about trust. It's all about relationship. It's a process. It's a day-by-day thing. Be satisfied in today. Don't rush ahead in tomorrow. Be still and know that He is God. He is with you to God. Dig into Him today. Wait on Him today. Seek Him today. Desire Him today. Tomorrow starts today. David strengthened himself in the Lord. He strengthened himself in the Lord. Get alone with God. The Holy Spirit can only bring to remembrance what you have implanted in your heart. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. We're gonna break bread this morning. If Lola, if you'd start handing the bread around, and then we'll do the. We're gonna record to remembrance today all that the Lord has done for us. We're gonna break bread, and. And just while I was preparing this, I just thought, you know, the contrast that in that garden, try and stay with me, guys, I know we're going to do, but in the garden where man was deceived, God doesn't want you to have this because He knows that you're going to be like Him. You liar. Bless you. Thank you. I'll take it to the thing. It was that fruit. It was a fruit on offer, right? It just happened. It's just what it was. You see, it doesn't really matter what it is that you're wanting to lay hold of. But the enemy of your soul is trying to convince you that God doesn't want you to have it and you need to do it your own way so that He can get a separation between you and God. And so in that garden, the devil literally said to the woman, "See this apple? Take, eat of this apple. Take and eat of this apple." And what happened? Separation, suspicion, distrust, a chasm between us and God. Today, we are going to break bread. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you, to bring you back together again." Everything that the devil stole in the garden, Jesus restores for us at Calvary. Everything. So today we are going to celebrate the breaking of the Lord's body for us. We are going to, He says, do this in remembrance of me. Remembrance of everything that He did for us. A remembrance of everything He bought for us. He paid the price 100%. You don't have to add to it. You can't add to it. He paid the price perfectly. There is no sacrifice left. No guilt, no shame. That's just a sacrifice. Get rid of that stuff. Walk in the light as He is in the light. Grab a hold. Remember what He has done for you. Remember the good promises He has for you. So we'll just continue to hand out the elements. So let's partake of the bread and the juice as symbols of the body that was broken for us and of the blood that was shed for us. So this morning, Lord, we just thank You. Jesus, we thank You that that you gave yourself for us, Lord, a willing sacrifice. You laid down your life. You said, no greater love has anyone than this. And he laid down his life for his brothers. And Lord, you have called us to be your little brothers and sisters, Lord, and you laid down your life for us. Your body was broken. Your body was broken so that ours wouldn't have to be, Lord. You bought us health and well-being. You bought us everything we needed for this life through your broken body. So this morning we break bread in remembrance of you, Lord Jesus, of what you did for us, but also of what you bought for us. We thank you that we have a legal right, we have a covenant right to stand on your promises, because you broke that, you made that covenant in the blood and of your own body, Lord Jesus. So this morning we break bread in remembrance of all you've done to us, for us, in Jesus' name. Let's partake of the body. Lord, and your word says that after supper, after you'd eaten that Passover supper, that supper that represented the passing over of judgment, after that Passover supper, you took the cup and you declared, this is my blood of the new covenant, the new and better covenant. Lord, we drink of the new covenant today. We thank you. Our sins are washed away and we are born again, blood-bought children of Almighty God. Let's drink of the cup of the. Let's just close in prayer. And then we're going to hang around and have some fellowship. But I just want to close in prayer. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that today is the day you have made. Tomorrow starts today. Today is an opportunity for a new start. Today is the opportunity to set our lives in the direction that we want to go with, Lord God. Father, we know the words of the song that, que sera, sera, the future's not, whatever will be, the future's not ours. Lord, we know that we don't hold the future in the palm of our hands, but Lord, we know that you do. And Father God, we commit ourselves to you to live in a way today that will set us and position us to where we want to be in the future, Father God. So Lord, I pray for a hunger. In our souls, in each and every one of us, for a passion, a fire to burn in our souls, to know you more, to follow you, to walk in your ways, to trust you more. And I receive it now. We receive it now in the wonderful name of Jesus. And everybody said, Amen.